Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Yat Shalom. We are now in Masechet Bava Batra Daf Kuf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph at the bottom of the Amud, taking a look at more cases of Arvut. Tahu Arva Diatmi. There was a fellow who was an Areva for a loan for Yatomim. The father owned had a loan, and then he died. He was the Areva for the Yatomim. Before notifying the kids, he paid off the loan. Now he wants his money. Amrav Papa Priyat Bachov Mitzvah. So Papa says it very simply. The debt that the kids owe to the Arev is a Milval Peh. And Priyat Bachov, that's a mitzvah. V'yatmi Labnei Me'avin Mitzvah Ninu. They're minors, so they're not chayiv in the mitzvah. So he can't sue them until they come of age. For Vunabredi Rav Yeshua Amar, Amar Tzariat Pasei. I should be concerned that father, perhaps, when he took the loan out, gave a security to the malve, and perhaps the malve already had been paid off, which means the arev might have paid the malve, but the yatomim don't owe anything. So either way, the arev can't get money from the yatomim. My benayu. So what's the difference between my papa's approach and Rav Huna Brady Rishua's approach? If father on his deathbed admitted he owed the debt, then we can't say Tzoriat Pase. And therefore, a papa would still say you can't sue them because they're still not B'nei Mi'avin Mitzvah. But Rav Huna Rav Shur would say they are Chayav. Inami the Shamtu made B'Shamte. This is a similar thing. If the father refused to pay the money and finally Beit Din, because of his refusal, threw him in Cherem, and he died in Cherem, so clearly the assumption is that, not just an assumption, clearly he never paid back the loan, because otherwise he would not have died Becherem, which is, of course, a terrible thing. Okay, so now, Shalchu Mitam, Eretz Yisrael, the psak was, Shamtuhu Meit B'Shamte, if he died Becherem, Hilchatak Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, then Halachatak Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, which means you can collect from the Yatomim. Now, Meitave, watch this challenge. It's a challenge with the Rav Papa. Arev Shahiyash Tarchov Yotze Mitachad Yadom. Let's say you have an Arev who has the Shtarchov, who was holding onto the Shtarchov, Enogova. He can't collect from the Love. Ve'im Katubo, it Kabaltim Chabad. If it says, like, paid, I received it from you, then Gova, then he can collect. So now, Bishtama, the Rav Huna Rav Shua. So according to him, I understand, Mishkacha Lak Shachayv Mode. That could be a case where the Lova admits, or admitted on his deathbed, that he never paid. Elo Papa Kasha, so Papa would have a problem, because remember, you can never sue these kids, because they're kids. So Shani Hatam, L'hachi Tar Chatev Leit Kabalti Mimcha, that's exactly why he went out of his way to add on to the star of the phrase, it Kabalti Mimcha, to make sure that he could collect. Okay, another case of an Arva. Hu Arva Dovid Kochovim. Meaning there was a non-Jew who had lent money to a Jew, and there was an Arev, another Jew who was an Arev for the loan. Depare l'ovid kochavim mekamen l'pinu l'yatmi. He went and paid the non-Jew off before the non-Jew went and sued the heirs, the minor heirs of the fellow he lent the money to. So now what happens? Amrle Rav Mordechai l'Rav Ashi, hachi amar avim imigroni amishpeh d'Rava. I have a quote from Rava. Afilim andamar chashinim l'tzorari. Even according to Rav Yehuna Rav Yeshua, it says, we're concerned of Tzoriat Pasei, and maybe there really is no Chiyuv here, and maybe the Goy already got paid off. Hanimili Yisrael, that's only if the lender is a Yisrael. Aval Ovid Kochavim, Kevin Devata Arvazil, since the non-Jew will go directly to the Arev, as we saw earlier. Lo Chashin and the Tzori, we're not concerned that maybe the borrower gave him Tzori, because it could be that he's not going to have to pay at all. The Goy might go directly to the cosigner. And therefore, even Rav Huna Rav Yeshua would agree you can't get money out of the kids. So Amrlei, that you can get money out of the kids. Amrlei, Adarabba. Afilim Andam Alochashin Letzori. Even according to Papa, who says Lochashin Letzori, Hanimili Yisrael, that's only if the lender is a Jew. Lochachavim came in to deny who Batar Arvazli, because according to their law, they can go directly to the cosigner. He loved not to say Tzori, me kara lohavi makabele. The Arev never would have signed on to the loan had the lender not given the non-Jewish lender some security. So here, even our Papa would have to agree that we're concerned that Tzoriat Pasei, and even he would agree that you cannot get money from the kids. Okay, v'chein erem shem Gamliel Omer. Ha'arev l'isha b'ktubata. This is in our Mishnah that we saw in the previous podcast. He says that if somebody is an Arev for a woman for a ktuba, that we say that the husband has to take a neder anah so that he could never return her, because we're concerned that the husband and the wife are going to do a knunya, conspiracy to bilk the Orev out of his money. We immediately start with a story. Moshe Bar Atzri, Arva Dechluvata Dechalte Have. This Moshe Bar Atzri was an Orev for the ketubah of his daughter-in-law, meaning for, on behalf of his son. Rav Huna Bray, he had a son named Rav Huna, not the famous Rav Huna, obviously. Tzurvim Rabbon Have. He was a Talmud. With the Chikale Milton, he wasn't doing well. He didn't have much money. He was happily married, but he didn't have much money. Amar Baye. So Leika Denazel Denazbe Eitzel Rav Huna. Isn't there anybody who's going to go give Rav Huna a good piece of advice? Deger Shala Devitu, he should, Denigra Shala Devitu, he should divorce his wife. Vetezel. Vetezel Vetig Biktuba Miavu. And then she could go and collect the ktuba from his father. Vahadra Nehadra. And then let this Rav Huna marry his wife again, and they'll have some money. In other words, they could work together to get money out of his father. So Amalei Rava. Rava said, V'hayyadirana ha'na'atnan. But the Mishnah said that whenever you divorce somebody and the and there's an Arev on the Ketubah, we force the Chatan to be Madir Hana'ah, so he could never marry her again. So Rabbi Abaye to call the Magarj, V'edin Magarj. Everybody divorces in Beit Din. They could do, they could have the divorce without a Beit Din. Sophie Glein melted the coin who. In the end, Rabbi did a little investigation and found out that this Rav Huna and his father were Kohanim, which means it really would have hurt him to do it because he could never remarry her anyways. Amar Baye, Hainu Damri Inchi, Batur Anya Azla Niuta. That's why people say poverty follows the poor. In other words, this guy's poor and Nebuchadnezzar's situation is that he has no solution. The question is, Amar Baye Hachi, since when does Abaye say that you're allowed to give advice to try to bilk somebody out of money that legally is yours, but ethically is a horrific thing, such as this case. Such as his potential advice. V'amar Abaye, we had this earlier in the 8th parak, if you recall, in the case of Acharecha, when a person sets up an Acharecha sequence of property, and when I die, it goes to you, and when you die, it goes to him, etc., etc. Shmuel Gamliel, if you recall, said that if anybody along that chain sells, then the sale is valid. So, Ezehu Rasha Arum, what's an example of a Rasha Arum? Meaning a clever Rasha, somebody who's legally within the bounds, but is ethically corrupt. Zamei Seitzalim, Korban Nechosim, Kirishim Gamliel. That's somebody who gives advice to somebody else to sell Nechosim, according to Shem Gamliel. Meaning, when you're in the middle of an Acharecha chain, and you sell. So, therefore, how could Abaye suggest that somebody should give advice to this Rahuna that he should divorce his wife, and then she'll collect the ktubah from his father, and then they'll remarry? The answer is Beno Shani. That's different when you're talking about a sequence of unrelated people who you're now hurting everybody else in line because you're selling. It's very different when it's the guy's own son. Maybe there's a critique on the father that his son's a student and his father should be helping him. Mitzvah Rabbanan Shani. And the fact that the son is a student of Torah makes it different also that we should try to help him out. But now we've got a technical problem. Arevu, the father was an Arev. The Kaimelan, as we'll see in a little bit, Arev d'ktuba lo mishtabed. An Arev on a ktuba really isn't chayav. We're going to see why. So the answer is kablan have. The answer is the father was not an Arev, he was a kablan. And a kablan, as we'll see, is a, and we've already seen a little bit of this when you're looking at the psukim, a kablan is a different level or a different kind of obligation, not where he's saying, I'll back up that this guy will pay, but rather I will be a primary debtor and I will pay. So the father was a kablan, so therefore he was mishtabed. But mishtabed shapir. That works according to the Manda Amar, and we'll see it's a machloket in a minute. That a kablan of ktubah, whether or not the husband has property, the kablan is still mishtabed shapir, because here the son had nothing, and that was the whole point of the story. But according to the Manda Amar that says that a kablan is only mishtabed if the baal has property. In other words, the kablan becomes sort of a stepping in along with the baal. But if the baal has no property, the kablan's statement is basically equating him to the baal. He also has nothing, even though he has something. So Michael and Amar. So first possible is Rav Huna had some property, had some land that got flooded, for instance, or got lost. Had cargo at sea, whatever. Again, this difference is there, it's the guy's own father. And so perhaps even if son has nothing, the father becomes a kablan, he is mishtabed, even according to the Manda Amar, as we'll see in a second, that unless the love or the baal has property, the Kablan is not Mishtabed. And the reason here is very clear. First of all, there's a certain gemurdat involved, and that's kind of premised on the idea that when father dies, son's going to be getting some of that property. Deitmar, here we go. Arev diktuba. Divrekola mishtabit. A regular arev anaktuba certainly is not mishtabit to pay anything. We'll see why. Kablan de bal chov, if you're a kablan of a regular chov, divrekola mishtabit. Everybody agrees you're mishtabit. Where's the machloket? Kablan diktuba of arev de bal chov. Mix and match. Pligi. Mar savar idle nichse lelo v'mishtabed idle lelo mishtabed. So one chacham believes that only if the love or the baal has property is the kablan or arev mishtabed, and if not, mar savar ben idle ben lele mishtabed. And the other opinion is that you're always mishtabed. The only time you're not mishtabed is an arev diktuba, whether or not the guy has property. But when you're an arev lechov, a kablan lektuba, certainly a kablan lechov, you're always mishtabed whether or not the guy's property. What's the halacha? V'hilchata, arev ben itle ben leitle mishtabed. An arev, whether or not the guy has property, is mishtabed. That's the halacha. Bar me arev lektuba. That we all agreed is not mishtabed. Da'afagav di'itle lebalo mishtabed. Even though the husband has property, the arev is not mishtabed. And again, I kept promising we'd get the reason. My taima, mitzvah dovad v'lav midi chasra. All he was doing a mitzvah of bringing these two people together. The couple was about to get married, and there was some hesitation. Is this guy really good for his promise on the ketubah? I'll back him up. But you're not really being mishtabed. Okay. So now, Amar Rav Huna, shchimira shikdish kol nechasav. This is somewhat related. If a shchimira is makdish everything he owns. And then, v'amar, mana leploni biyadi. I owe Ploni some money, which means now we're going to take all of his money that was mukdash, we're going to take a mana out, which may be a significant portion of it, and give it to a guy. Naaman, he's believed. Why? Chazaka in adam osek knunya al hekdesh. We have a basic assumption that nobody's going to try to cheat hekdesh out of money. In other words, here's the thought. The guy was makdish everything he owned, and then maybe he had a charata. So you can't get it out of hekdesh. You can't say, I take it back. So what do? You say, oh, but I owe some Ploni some money. And you work it out with Ploni, that Ploni will take 10% of it, and you'll get it back. So we say that nobody would do that. But nobody would do that to his children either, and nonetheless, if a guy is shchivmira, and not, he says, as we saw throughout the 8th and 9th parak, give money to Ploni, but rather he says, I owe Ploni money. Rav Shmuel said, only if he says, give it to him, do we give. If we don't say, he doesn't say, give it to him, we don't give it to him. Why? A person may indeed try to make sure that his sons don't look too rich. So he has an entire estate. It's let's say, quite a lot. And then he says, oh, by the way, I owe Ploni some money. So if he doesn't say tnu, we don't give it to them because he may not have really meant it. And he may have just been saying it so people won't think his sons are so rich. So they'll start pestering and bothering them, and they'll have a difficult life after he passes away. So it could be the same thing with this hekdesh, that when the guy said, I makdish everything, and then he doesn't want to look like he's such a wealthy guy, so he says, oh, you know what, some of that money I really owe. And after he said, I'm being makdish everything, they did an assessment. It turns out the guy's worth $10 million. He says, yeah, but $5 million I owe to somebody. So at least he doesn't look so rich. So the answer is, Kikama Rav Huna Hatam. When did Rav Huna say that if you say that on your deathbed, after you makdish everything, I owe Ploni some money, to not get shtar. That's if you have a shtar that says I owe the Ploni money, or the other guy has a shtar. In other words, it's some substantiation. So Michal, do Rav Shmuel, do lo not get shtar? Does that mean Rav and Shmuel's ruling? Tnu not nim, lo not get shtar? That the guy doesn't have a star? You know, it's according to what you're saying. If the guy has a star, then the minute he says, I owe the money, we give it to him. So Rav and Shmuel, who said only if he says give it, do we give it to him. That means they're talking about a case where there is no star? So milval pan, that means it's milval pan. What's the halach? Rav and Shmuel, damer tavayu, milval pan, or govern l'min ha'yoshim l'min ha'kuchot. You cannot collect an oral debt except from the original guy. You can't collect it from his heirs, and you can't collect it from people who bought the property from him. Right? So why would they say Amar Tnu not nim? After all, this is stuff that really belongs to the guy's kids. He's on his deathbed. How could we give it to the other fellow? Ala Amar Rav Nachman, Idi V'Idi Nakit Shtar, both Rav Huna's case, where the guy says, after he's makdish everything, he says, give him one of the Ploni, and it works. And Rav and Shmuel's case, Tnu not nim, Lo Amar Tnu not nim, are talking about when they have a shtar. V'lo Kasha, Hadi Mekuyam, Adal Mekuyam. If the shtar is Mekuyam, that's Rav Huna's case. It's a valid shtar. then you give. In Rabbi Shmuel's case, not Makuyim. So therefore, Amar Tnu, when he says Tnu, Kime L'Shtar, that's his way of being Mekayim the Shtar. Meaning the guy standing there with a star, you owe me money. The guy says, yeah, give it to him. He's being Mekayim the Shtar. Sort of like Moda B'Shtar V'Shiktavo, and it's L'Kaimo. So Lo Amar Tnu, Lo Kime L'Shtar, but if he doesn't say Tnu, then the Shtar is not validated. And without a Shtar, we can't take it away from the Yorshim. And now we understand Rabbi Shmuel quite well. So Amar Rabba, Shchimi Rasha, Marmana L'Ploni V'Adi, there's a related case. Shchimira is on his deathbed, and he says, I owe money to Ploni. And then he dies. And then the guy comes and says, where's my money? And the Yitomim said, we paid. Nemonim, we believe them. Tnu mona l'Ploni, but if the guy on his deathbed said, give Ploni money, and the Yitomim then later come and say, we paid him, ain't nemonim, they're not believed. So klape laya, that's upside down. Amar tnu mona, when he said tnu, came in the paskavu and the milta, since father said, give, he gave him a directive, there's good reason to think that they paid him off because father said to give. And so therefore, when he said tnu and they said we paid, we should believe them. Mana the ploni biyadi, when all he said was, I owe ploni a mana, but he doesn't say give. Since father never gave a directive, he can learn to lopar. There's good reason to think they didn't pay him. So this ruling of Rabba seems to be upside down. Eliit marachit mar, really what Rabba said was as follows. And it's not an inversion of it, it's a variation. Shchimira sha'amar mana l'ploni v'yadi. If Shchimira said, I owe ploni money. V'amri yitomim chazar v'amar lono abba parati. The yitomim don't say we paid. The yitomim say, afterwards, when you guys left, father turned to us and said, oh yeah, I paid it off. Nemonim. They're believed. Why my time? Adkori midkar. Father remembered. He said, I owe ploni money. Oh, you know what? I paid him. But tnu mana l'ploni. But if he said, give money l'ploni. And here's where we see Rabba's case. What was Rabba's first version? If the guy says, I owe Ploni money, and then they say we paid, we believe them. So here's what it means. If they turn around after the witnesses were there and heard father say, I owe Ploni money, and then they say, after you left, he said to us, oh yeah, I paid him, that's a reasonable thing, because he remembered. But Tnuman of the Ploni, if he said Tnuman of the Ploni in front of the witnesses, and then the Yitomim say, after you left, father said I paid, and their money, then we don't believe them. And that's the gist of Rabba's original statement. Why? Dimita the pare, if really father paid them, lohave amar tnu, he wouldn't have said tnu. He would have said, I owe somebody. He wouldn't have said, give it to him with such a clear directive if indeed he had already paid it. So therefore, we don't believe them. So now, boy, Rabba, shchimira shahodama. What if a shchimira is moda that he owes money? Do we, and here's the, we'll see the question in a minute. Tzarech lomar atamei dai, or in tzarech lomar atamei dai? Does he have to say to the edim around, you are my edim? Does he have, and this really relates back to the ninth parak, does he have to say, write the shtar? And the real question in all of these three things, which is, if he's moda, does he have to say atamidai, does he have to say ktuvu, is, adam mishateh b'shat mito, in adam mishateh b'shat mita. And a man on his deathbed, is he going to play around? Is he going to mention a chiyuv that he doesn't really have? And the answer is, batu debaya hadar pashta in adam mishateh b'shat mita. Nobody does that at the moment of death. They're on their deathbed. They're very serious. We take them seriously. We don't think they don't mean it. And therefore, the words of a shchimira are considered as if they're written and handed over. And therefore, he doesn't have to say atemidai. He doesn't have to say ketuvu. It doesn't even have to be written. As long as he gives the directive, we take him at his word and we execute the get. Okay, we have gotten to the bottom daf kuf ayin hey amud aleph, which brings us to the end of our penultimate podcast. That we will be doing the final podcast of Masechet Bava Batra the next, but in the meantime, wish everybody a wonderful day.